Hidden. பிரம்மானந்தம் பரமசுகதம் கேவலம் ஞானமூர்த்திம் த்வந்த்வாதீதம் ககனசத்ருஷம் தத்வமஸ்யாதிலக்ஷம் ஏகம் நித்யம் விமலமசலம் சர்வதீ சாக்ஷிபூதம் பாவாதீதம் த்ரிகுணரஹிதம் சத்குரும் தம் நமாமி. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஐ ஆஃபர் மை லவிங் சாலுடேஷன்ஸ் டு தி குரு ஹூ இஸ் தி வெரி எம்பாடிமெண்ட் ஆஃப் தி பிளிஸ் ஆஃப் பிரம்மன், தி கிவர் ஆஃப் கிரேட் கியர் ஆஃப் தி கிரேட்டஸ்ட் பியாட்டிடியூட், the absolute, the personification of the highest knowledge, who is beyond the pairs of opposites like pain and pleasure, untouched by evil like the sky, whom thou art that, and similar scriptural passages have in view, the one without a second, the eternal, the pure, the immovable, the witness of all mental modifications, abiding ever beyond thoughts and attributes. I again offer my salutations to the Guru. Om peace. May there be peace in our hearts. May there be peace and joy among all beings, harmony among all beings, and may there be peace everywhere in nature. Good morning. Namaskar. Let us continue our study of the topic, the sage of steady wisdom, which is a description of the qualities of a sage whose awareness or consciousness is unwaveringly established in the self or in God. Sri Krishna gives a detailed description of such a sage in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in response to Arjuna's question. The purpose of this description of the qualities of a sage is twofold. One is to be able to recognize such a person so that we can emulate from such a person. We can emulate such a person. The second purpose is, as explained in the commentary on this verse by Shankaracharya, the second purpose of this detailed description of the qualities of a sage is for each one of us to strive to the best of our ability to become one such sage ourselves. So there is this prescriptive aspect also in this description. In the verses from 55 to 72 of the second chapter, Bhagavan Sri Krishna has described a number of qualities. In these verses, two themes come up again and again. One is the subject of equanimity under all circumstances, samatvam. In life, you come across varied circumstances, happiness, pleasure, pain, loss, gain, success, failure, praise and blame, all these things come to us in life. The quality of a sage is to remain unaffected by all these changes, by all these vicissitudes that are inevitable in everybody's life. Such a person does not become upset by either great success or fame or profit or happiness and remains totally unperturbed under adverse circumstances. Whatever pain, loss, adversity comes, such a person remains unperturbed, remains calm. This quality of equanimity is very important for all of us to practice. Otherwise, we will have no peace. When something good happens, we exult. And something when bad happens, we become unhappy, bitter, angry, sad, depressed, and dejected. So we should try to avoid this oscillation and try to maintain equipoise in our minds regardless of what life brings in our lives. That is one quality that comes up again and again in these verses. The second quality that comes up many times is to remain detached from pain and pleasure and to practice calmness of mind under all circumstances. This to be done by controlling our sense organs. The ability to control our sense organs is very, very important not only for spiritual seekers, but for even other people who are only interested in a successful, happy, decent worldly life. The ability to control our impulses. So many desires arise in our minds out of nowhere. And then if we try to impulsively fulfill all the desires that come up in our mind, there will be no end to our misery. We don't know what they lead to. So we should be able to address these desires and the constant demand of the sense organs to move around sense objects with the hope that such contact between sense organs and sense objects will bring happiness. Sri Krishna goes deeply into this topic of what is really happiness that we are seeking. Most of the time, most of the people are seeking sensory pleasures. That means pleasures, happiness coming from sense objects outside. The sense object may be something tangible, like a property, a house, or money, or some other possession. It can be a power, position, or fame, intangible things. Whatever it is, most people, most of the time, try to find happiness in these outside things. Again and again, life has been telling us that that is not going to bring us happiness. In the scriptures, in the Gita and other scriptures, Bhagavan sages have said that happiness cannot be found anything in the outside world, in anything in the outside world. Although they promise happiness, although all these things, relationships, family life, children, spouse, success, fame, position, power, wealth, good health, beauty, youth, all these things seem to bring some happiness for some time, but that kind of happiness coming from all these outside sources is not dependable. It is not permanent. It changes. It comes and goes. And really, these objects do not have any intrinsic capacity of their own to produce and give us even an iota of happiness. Though happiness seems to be coming from them, generally. The sign of wisdom is to inquire, where is the locus of happiness? Where is it coming from? It seems to be coming from relationships. It seems to be coming from position, from wealth, from money, from fame, from good health, all these things. But is it really coming from there? If so, three things must happen. If sense objects have the intrinsic capacity to give us happiness, three things must happen. One thing is, the same object must always give me happiness. For example, some people like to wear expensive suits, clothing, Brooks Brothers suit, or Versace, or Oscar de la Renta, or whatever. That brings them happiness. Some people like to have gold and other possessions. All these things, they are bringing us happiness. But are they the source of happiness? Where is it coming from? That question most of us do not address. We assume that it is coming from there. We try to acquire more of it. And then we discover that it's not going to happen. Sooner or later, that happiness changes into unhappiness. That is nicely described in one verse in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, verse 22, where Sri Krishna describes succinctly the severe limitations of the happiness coming from the outside world, outside objects. There he says, all this happiness coming from contact with sense objects, samsparshaja bhoga. Sense object means anything, including the body itself is a sense object. Body gives a lot of happiness, pleasure, at some point in our life. The very body which gave me a lot of pleasure at some point in my life, At some later point in life, the very body gives a lot of unbearable pain. What happened? If the body had the intrinsic capacity to give me happiness, it must always give me happiness. Undiminishing happiness. It should always give. It does not. So it should make me think, it gave me happiness at some time when I was young, youthful, strong, good-looking. The body gave me happiness and pleasure. But I am old, my body is suffering with various afflictions, it gave me a lot of pain. What happened? What changed? That means the body itself has no capacity to give happiness, but it gave me happiness at some point. That must make me think from where that happiness came. Obviously not from the body. If it did, it must give me happiness now, the body is still there. It's not giving me pain. Must be coming from some other source. That line of thinking we have to do. That's what Sri Krishna makes us think. He makes us think to address this question, where is this happiness coming from? Where is the locus of happiness? Go for that. Then he says, all the happiness that comes as a result of contact between one or more sense organs and one and more sense objects is only a highly distorted, highly diminished version of the joy that comes from the self. Our inner self, the divine presence within self, means Atman, means the divine presence within us, which is unconditionally present in all, regardless of our belief or acceptance, whatever. Unconditionally God's presence is there. It's coming from there. Sages have said they have experienced it. That is why those sages who could bypass this undependable, poor, reflecting surfaces, which are sense objects, and who could directly go in contact with the self within, the source of all joy, the fountain of immortal, immeasurable joy, they were always happy, regardless of what happened outside. Whether body is well or ill, whether they're young or old, youthful or old, whether other people praise them or blame them, whether they have money or not, whether they have clothes to wear or not, whether they have a bungalow or no place to stay, it did not matter. They were unconditionally, independently happy. How? Because they did not go for this sense objects, happiness coming from sense objects. They went straight to the source of joy, original source of joy. That's the only source of joy. Then all these other things that seem to be bringing happiness, such as relationships, children, family, spouse, property, position, fame, youth, beauty, etc., they are not the source of happiness. At best, they are able to only provide a highly distorted, highly diminished version, reflection of the joy coming from the self. So Sri Krishna says in that verse 22, chapter 5, the design of wisdom is not to depend upon these things for happiness and go straight to the source where it is unconditionally available. Unconditionally available, always available. Does not diminish, does not come and go. No condition is required. We are the self. We are that. So if it is something that we have, then it may go away. Anything that is not me, anything that is separate from me, which I have, which I possess, there is no guarantee it will be always with me. It will come and go. But something that I intrinsically am, by true original nature, that I always am, that I will never change. Go for that. That's the message of the Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures. A sage of steady wisdom knows that. That is why such a person remains always contented, always blissful, independently, unconditionally, regardless of what other people say, regardless of the body condition is, regardless of any possessions or not. Nothing bothers them.
So we try to find happiness in the sense object. That's why our sense objects are always hankering to go outside, hoping that they will bring happiness. I want to see something very pleasant, because seeing something pleasant seems to bring happiness. We look for that kind of happiness in seeing things, beautiful things, many places, in nature, in television, in internet, everywhere. Beauty, looking for beauty in people and everything. Ear always wants to hear something pleasant that brings happiness. So always looking for sound which brings me happiness. The most pleasing sound that brings me happiness is when people praise me. I'm looking for that. When people praise me, oh, that makes me so happy. Pleasing, most pleasing sound. But that's not always going to happen. People that don't have the same opinion, today they may like me, praise me, tomorrow they may hate me, blame me. I can't depend upon that. Hand is always looking forward to touch something pleasant. The sense of touch brings me happiness. So always looking for something nice that brings pleasure. In this way, the five sense organs, actually 10 sense organs, and the mind, which is also a sense organ, all the 11 of the sense organs are always roaming outside in this world of sense objects, looking for happiness coming from the contact with sense objects. The sage of steady wisdom does not do that, because he or she knows that that's where true happiness lies. That's not the locus of happiness. It is self within. Go inside. You look for happiness outside, you'll be disappointed. It may bring you some time happiness, but then it will fail after some time. The only unfailing source of happiness, eternal source of happiness, unconditional source of happiness, the self within, the God within, the divine presence within. Go to that. That is wisdom, Sri Krishna says in the Gita. There's a very nice verse in the Viveka Chudamani, Shankara's work, Viveka Chudamani, which many of you are studying Wednesday evenings with Swami Atmagyanandaji. There, Shankara says, a wise person does not allow his or her mind to roam freely in the forest of sense objects. Ordinary person's mind is always roaming outside, looking for something that brings me happiness. What dress? If there is a mink coat, $20,000, I want to wear it, brings me happiness. Somebody wore $51,500 worth of coat, because that brought happiness for that person. But we should ask the question, does it always bring me happiness? Is it always going to be with me? Even if it is there, coat will be there, it will not go away. But my body will not be able to wear the coat when it becomes old. So that happiness coming from the $51,500 coat is not permanent, it's conditional. It depends upon my body being in a good position to wear that coat, and coat being available, and that's when I get happiness. That is conditional, comes and goes, temporary, always not going to be there. So as the wise person, steady wisdom, rejects that. He inquires, where is the true source of happiness? Where is the true locus of happiness? Unfailing locus of happiness goes there. Bypasses these undependable, very inefficient, reflecting surfaces, sense objects, which at best can only provide, under the best of circumstances, can only provide a highly distorted, diminished version of the sense objects, of the sense pleasures. So Shankara says in that verse in the Viveka Chudamani, he compares the mind, the ordinary human mind, to a tiger roaming freely in the forest. If there is a tiger in the forest roaming freely, it can go anywhere in the forest looking for prey without any restriction. Nobody can restrict the tiger, go, don't go there, come here, like that one. He says, Mano Nama Mahavyagra Vishyaranya Bhumishu Charati. Yes, Mahavyagra, the great tiger of the untrained mind of an untrained person, the tiger Vishyaranya Bhumishu, in this whole world of sense objects, whatever is available in some other country, There used to be some very rich people in India more than a century ago. They would send their soiled clothes for laundering in Paris, as if there were no laundries in India. That's where they found happiness. If the clothes they wear are washed and pressed in Paris, it comes back, they're living in India. That gives them happiness. That kind of happiness is not true happiness. Let the mind not be allowed to roam freely. Let the tiger of a mind not be allowed to roam freely in the forest of sense objects. Mano nama mahavyagra visayaranya bhumishu charati. It moves about. Sadhavaye mumukshavaha, those sadhus, seekers of spiritual experience, seekers of God, who are seekers of liberation, ye mumukshavaha, atra nagachantu, they should not go there. That means, don't go look out looking for happiness in the world outside. What movie is happening, what drama, what entertainment, what music, what dress, what clothing, what sports event, what this and what that, what relationship, friendship with this person, relationship with that person, all these things that we ordinarily pursue with the hope of finding happiness from them. They cannot provide happiness always unconditionally. They do for some time, then it fails. And the happiness fails, what was that? Happiness at one time turns into disillusionment and unhappiness at other time. That quality of not looking for happiness in the outside world, and whatever happiness it brings some happiness, food, etc., accept it calmly, but don't become attached to it. Don't become dependent on it. It will always not be there. If it is there, thank you for coming to my life, give me happiness. If it leaves, thank you for giving me happiness. You have played your part. Whether it's a person playing their part in your life, who brought happiness to you at some point, who is bringing misery to you, whether it's a job or a child, or beauty, or youth, or money, or whatever, at one point it gave me happiness, thank you for giving me happiness. Don't become dependent on it. Don't expect it to be there always. Any moment it can leave, or it will be there intact and I have to leave. When that separation comes, no disturbance in mind. Thank you for having this experience. I'm happy with or without you. That independence must be cultivated. That is what Sri Krishna says in verse 57 in the second chapter. He says, verse 57, second chapter, describing the qualities of his study, says of study wisdom, yas sarvatra anabhisneha tat prapya shubha shubham nabhinandati nadveshti tasya prajna pratishthita. That person who, when good things happen, pleasure comes, praise comes, profit comes, popularity comes, when good things happen, the person does not become attached to it, does not expect it to be always present, anytime it can leave, ready, does not become attached, does not become dependent on it, knows the limitations, time limitation. Ashubham prapya, supposing something unpleasant happens, suffering comes, pain comes, infamy comes, people blame, bodily problem comes, poverty comes. When all these things come, that person remains unperturbed, does not become disturbed by such calamity, such adversity. Shubha ashubham prapya, sarvatra anabhisneha, always remain detached. Attached only to the self. Nabhinandati shubham prapya. When good things happen, does not exult and become proud and arrogant. Oh, I am successful. Nadveshti, when unpleasant things happen, does not hate, does not become angry, depressed, dejected, bitter, depressed. remains calm under all circumstances. Tasya prajna pratishthita. This verse 57. Such a person is a person of steady wisdom. Steady wisdom. A sage. Such a prajna. Swami Vivekananda wrote a famous poem called The Song of the Sannyasin when he was in Thousand Island Park in upstate New York. Thousand Island Park is a small place on the St. Lawrence River, 4 miles south of the Canadian border. In the summer of 1897, Swami Vivekananda went there. Some devotees offered a cottage for him to stay, and a small number of devotees, 10-12 people, stayed with him there for about 7-8 weeks in July-August 1895. And then he did classes morning and evening. Somebody took notes of those classes and published them. Those class notes of the class that Swami Vivekananda gave in Thousand Island Park in 1895 are published in the complete works, volume 7 of the complete works of Swamiji's works, also as a separate book called The Inspired Talks. When he was in that place, in Thousand Island Park, he was in a very elevated state of mind. He went into samadhi there. Then one day, in an inspired moment, Swami Vivekananda composed this poem in English, 13 stanzas in the poem. It's called The Song of Sannyasin. It's a description of how an ideal sannyasi, an ideal monk, an ideal sage of steady wisdom lives. One of the stanzas is like this. Heed then no more how body lives or goes. Its task is done. Let karma float it down. Let one put garlands on, another kick this frame, say not. No praise or blame can be, where praiser praised and blamer blamed are one. Thus be thou calm, sannyasin bold, say Om Tat Sat Om. It is an instruction to all of us to be calm. Somebody may praise us, put garland on our neck, and praises somebody, may blame us and kick us. This is going to happen in life. Likewise, all other pain and pleasure will come. Whatever comes, good or bad, let one put garlands on, another kick this frame. Say not, we remain calm, don't react. Thus be thou calm, sannyasin bold, say Om Tat Sat Om. That is the instruction that Swamiji gave on maintaining equanimity under all circumstances. Bhagavad Gita also talks about this equanimity in many places. One place where Sri Krishna clearly says this, clearly asks us to remain equanimous, unperturbed under all circumstances, pleasure or pain, gain or loss, is in verse 20 in chapter 5. There Sri Krishna says, Na prahrishyet priyam prapya, no dvijet prapya cha priyam. Priyam prapya, priyam means something pleasant, agreeable, beneficial. Priyam prapya, something good happens. Na prahrishyet, we should not exalt and become attached with one thing that will always be there like that. It won't, it will change. Apriyam prapya, when something unpleasant happens, painful happens, disagreeable experience comes, na udvijet, that person does not become disturbed, perturbed, accepts it, takes it in stride. Yes. Happiness? Good. Thanks, welcome. Unhappiness? Thanks, welcome. Remain forward, go forward, remain steady and go forward. That is a sign of steady wisdom. That is what Swamiji describes in the Song of Sannyasin. Last time I gave the example of Sri Ramachandra, Swami Ramachandra Rama, who showed this exemplary equanimity under widely varying circumstances all in the course of one day. Our pain and pleasure variations are small. Our difficulties and problems are small in magnitude compared to the difficulty that Rama faced in his life. The story is that the Ramayana story all know that Dasharatha, the father of Rama, he decided to repair to the forest for Vanaprastha Ashrama, third phase of life, as was the custom those days, entrusting the responsibility of the kingdom to his eldest son, who was Sri Rama, and he and his wives repairing to the forest to spend their time in contemplation on the divine. After finishing the responsibilities of the householder's life, that was the custom those days. When that time came, Dasharatha, Rama's father, decided to entrust the kingdom to Rama, the oldest son, and make him the king, and himself got ready to go to the forest. Everything was set. Rama was to become the king. Next day, coronation ceremony was going to go on. Lot of preparation happened. Whole country people were very happy. All the subjects were happy because they all loved Rama. Rama was a very popular prince. He's going to become our king. People were joyful, preparing to celebrate the coronation ceremony. As you know from the story, at that moment, the third wife, Kaikeyi, Dasharatha's wife, comes and she says to her husband, "I want my son Bharata to become the king, and Rama has to go to the forest for 14 years. Dasharatha had agreed to fulfill some promise, something that Kaikeyi would ask. It was not known what she was going to ask. He agreed. And then she brought up this. "You have told me that you will fulfill my promise. This is my request. You have told me that you will fulfill my request. This is my request. I want my son Bharata, Rama's stepbrother Bharata, to become the king. And Rama should go to the forest for 14 years. She said that. Dasharatha was a man of words. If he gave his word, he would abide by it, whatever be at stake. Dasharatha said, "Yes." He told Rama, "Your mother Kaikeyi wants you to go to the forest for 14 years, and she wants her son Bharata to become the king." Rama said, fine with me. He did not become unhappy at all that he was supposed to go to the forest. The person who was going to become the king next day, assume the kingdom, become the king, in a few moments the whole situation changed, turned around, and he was required to go to the forest instead. Any other person would become very unhappy, angry and bitter. "No, I am the oldest son. I am entitled to the kingdom. I should become the king. Bharata is a junior brother. I want to become the king." He would have said that one, any other person. And when the announcement came that he was going to be the king, any other person would have enjoyed, would have exulted in happiness. "Oh, I am going to be the king. From tomorrow, I will be the king." No such exultation when the good news came. And when the bad news came that he had to go to the forest for 14 years, no problem. "Yes, father, I'll go to the forest for 14 years. May Bharata become the king." No complaint. Accepted both news, the extremely good news of becoming the king, the extremely bad news of having to go to the forest for 14 years. No disturbance in his mind. Remained calm like a placid ocean. No way of disturbance. That was the very embodiment of equanimity under highly, widely varying circumstances, from extreme happiness to extreme unhappiness. For him, it was no happiness and unhappiness. Circumstances, he remained unaffected. Rama remained unaffected. There's not a shadow of unhappiness in his face when he heard that he cannot become the king and he had to go to the forest. That is in one of the hymns that we chant every month here on the first Saturday evening when we chant Ram Nam Sankirtan. May that divine face of Sri Rama, which showed no trace of emotion, unhappiness, when he was asked to go to the forest, leaving the kingdom, May the divine grace of Sri Rama protect us. May or may we also get in a small measure that quality of equanimity. May we be able to take the pain and pleasure of life with calmness, whatever life brings. That is the quality of equanimity that Sri Krishna describes in many places in this segment of the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the essence of steady wisdom invariably displays under all circumstances, not only when it is convenient, all the time. That is one thing. The next quality that Sri Krishna emphasizes often is in the verse 58. There is a different quality of a sage is described. That sage does not allow his mind and sense organs to roam freely among the sense objects with the hope of finding happiness in that contact. In the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna describes in one verse what ordinary people think to be happiness. What is happiness that they are looking for? What kind of happiness are most people looking for? If you analyze that, the kind of happiness majority of people are looking for are the sensation of pleasure that comes from contact of one or more sense objects with one or more sense objects. Matra sparshastu kaunteya. When I see some beautiful form, eyes, sense organ eyes, form object, pleasant happiness. When I wear something, golden ornament, body, sense organ, gold ornament object, contact, pleasure. When I am promoted to the president of a company or CEO, that brings happiness. When the opposite happens, unhappiness comes. So where is the happiness? The happiness that we are looking for, ordinarily, majority of people are looking for, is nothing but a temporary sensation of pain or pleasure that happens when one or more sense object organ comes into contact with one or more sense object. That's not true happiness, because this contact is not permanent. Problem is, the very same sense object which gave me pleasure today, the very same sense object fails to give me pleasure tomorrow. We can see it clearly in this relationship. The variable, undependable nature of happiness coming from outside, you can clearly see in relationships. Today I love somebody, that person's company brings me enormous joy. I don't want to be separated from him or her even for a short moment of time, short period of time. That companionship, that company brings me so much joy. I love you. What happens? Most of them, it remains all right, but sometimes give it a little bit time. What was I love you at one time becomes I hate you, I don't want you in my life, I want you out of my life. End up in court. They went to court to get married, now they are going to court and get separated. What happens? Same person. What gave me happiness at one time, same object, same person giving me unhappiness at this time. What happened? That should make me think that the happiness that came at that time didn't come from that person. It came from somewhere else. Where is this source of true happiness? That inquiry we have to do. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there is a very famous passage, long passage, 16 lines are there. There, the sage says, we do everything we do. We acquire everything we acquire. Why? Because we hope that object or position, that person or something brings me happiness, which is not the case. But happiness seems to be coming from people, from position, from power, from fame, from wealth and beauty and health. It's not coming from there. It's misleading. It is coming from here. Then what is this source of happiness? It's only a very inefficient reflecting surface that can only provide a highly distorted, highly diminished version of the joy coming from the self only under certain circumstances. The same object can turn give enormous pain at a different point in time. Therefore, we should not look for happiness. If things are necessary, we can't do without sense objects. We have to have a place to stay, we have to have clothes to wear, we have to have food to eat, we have to have money to pay bills. You need all those things. We need people in our lives. You can't dispense with people. We need all these things. But these things, we know, do not always, we should not always think of them as sources of happiness, unfailing happiness. They may or they may not. That quality of detachment has to be cultivated. One thing that people do, most people do, is to look outside in sense objects to find happiness. It's not a good thing to do. We need sense objects, they're necessities, but they are not source, unfailing sources of happiness. So that is described in verse 58. Control the tendency of the mind and sense organs, Sri Krishna says, to roam outside among the sense objects, hoping that they will bring happiness. They are necessities, but they are not always sources of happiness. So control our sense organs. Not allow them to go freely in the world, roaming in sense objects, hoping to find happiness. This is very important verse. 58 in second chapter. There Sri Krishna says, Yada samharate chayam kurmonga niva sarvashaha indriyani indriyarthebhya tasya prajna pratishthita. A wise person does not allow the sense organs, with mind also, mind is also a sense organ, to roam freely among sense objects with the hope of finding happiness therefrom, from that contact. He gives the example of a tortoise, kurma. Tortoise is slowly moving, and when it senses some danger, it quickly withdraws all these limbs and hides them under the shell, protection, safety under the shell. Because sense of whatever object it sees may not be a source of happiness. It may be some other enemy, predator, trying to swallow it, or it may be something good, so I want to be careful. When you see a sense object, tempting sense object, promises to bring so much happiness, it's very tempting to have it. But I should be careful. Watch. First thing is to withdraw my sense organs from its tendency to go outside and seek the sense object, hoping to find happiness, and watch. Be careful, like a tortoise. It withdraws its four legs inside the shell, safety. Inside the self means inside the divine presence, with that's our shell, the divine presence within us. There we should stay safe, guarded. And when you go outside into the sense world of sense objects looking for happiness, what happens is unpredictable, uncontrollable. So that is what Sri Krishna says in verse 58 too. I am means Dishtita Parnya, this seeker of steady wisdom. Shankara says, this I am means this person, he. Who is he? Jnananishthayam pravrittaha yatihi. Yati means a sage who remains firmly committed to the knowledge of the self. Jnananishthayam pravrittaha yatihi. Such a person does not allow his or her sense organs to roam freely, uncontrolled, in the world of sense objects. Whatever is necessary, welcome. Whatever gives pain, be careful. They may be necessities, but they may bring pain. You have to be careful. So 258. Yada sammarate chayam kurmonga aniva sarvashaha indriyani indriyarthebhyastasya prajna pratishthita. Now this provides only a partial solution. We cannot always withdraw our senses from all the sense objects. We can't. It's impossibility physically. We need sense objects. I need a place to stay. I need food to eat. I need clothes to wear. I need other necessities. All sense objects. I can't do away with them. Then what's meant by withdrawing sense organs? Not looking upon them as permanent sources of happiness. Their necessities, keep them. If they bring happiness, be thankful. If they bring unhappiness, be thankful either anyhow. Remaining unperturbed in what the sense organs bring. Indriyani, sense organs, how many? 10 sense organs plus mind, 11 sense organs. Indriyarthebhyaha, from sense objects, sarvashaha samharate, withdraws them. Unnecessary contact is not necessary. Unnecessary contact means, for example, hoping to see a lot of other things which are pleasant, which may bring happiness. Window shopping, people watching, internet browsing, looking for sources of happiness. They can't bring happiness. Necessities you need, you have to keep. But not become dependent on them, attached to them, hoping that always bring pleasure. They may or may not. That ability to remain independent, not dependent on sense objects for happiness, that is very important quality. And we should reduce distractions as much as possible. Lot of time and energy are wasted in our daily lives in seeking sense objects, contact with sense objects, hoping they will bring pleasure. They don't. They may not. Necessities we need, you keep. But other things, no. So we should say no to all other which are not necessities. But this withdrawal of the sense organs from sense objects is only a partial solution. We still need sense objects for our basic necessities of life. Then what to do? What happens is when I see a sense object, immediately desire arises in my sense object to possess it, hoping it will bring happiness. When I see somebody in the subway or on the highway or in the shopping mall or supermarket, I feel attracted to that person. Oh, that person can bring me happiness. Be careful, Sri Krishna says. Be careful when looking for such kind of happiness. We need people in our lives. Nobody can live without people. Only a rare, small number of hermits can live away in the Himalayas, in the caves, or in the forest without any people. But most of us cannot do that. We need people in our lives. But to become attached to that connection, relationship, to hope that always that relationship will bring happiness, is where we have to exercise control. Even if we avoid contact with sense objects, which produce desire to possess them, desires also come from within our own minds, even if there is no sense object. Supposing I am sitting in my room, doors closed, there is nothing there. I am not in a shopping center, I am not in some other movie theater or some place, or in a football stadium or some place. I am in my own room alone. Nobody is there. Nothing is there to distract me. But still my mind will come up with its own desires from the hidden samskaras. Desires come from two sources. Desires arise in our minds when I see something, hear something, touch something, taste something, smell something, outside object, one source of desire. Even if there is no other sense object, my mind itself can project desire from within its own stored internal impressions. The object may not be there, but I want to have it, visualizing it, imagining it. It may be tangible, intangible, existent, non-existent, but my mind itself projects desires into our minds. Then how to deal with that one? That will be the topic, next topic. Today's topic is, as much as possible, two things we study. To remain equanimous, calm, whatever circumstances life may bring. Pain or pleasure, praise or blame, gain or loss, success or failure. Second thing is to stop expecting happiness to come from outside. Other people, positions, property, gold, money, wealth, position, power, relationships, people. To stop expecting. They may provide happiness, they do, or they may provide unhappiness. Same source. To remain calm. And the second thing is to control our the tendency, normal tendency of an average person to roam in the world of sense objects, hoping they will bring happiness. They may or may not. Next time when we meet, we'll go to the next idea in 259. What happens when we abstain from contact with sense objects? It's not always feasible. Does not always work. How to deal with that situation? We'll deal with that next time when I get an opportunity. Now let us reflect for a few minutes.